Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 17 of the Two Song Shot. I'm Craig Higdon, a.k.a. Stompin' Jim Hambone, and with me is...
Josh Lawrence, a.k.a. JJ Sonic.
This podcast brings you songs you might not have heard and songs you've requested we make for you.
That's right, and today we have a song from Oslo, Norway, a fine pop song, and we also have music from the documentary Get Lamp. And we have a sub-brilliant news report from Tom Merritt, a.k.a. Greg Whitney. But before we get to all of that, find out how to find us.
If you want to learn more about Mozo Media or the Two Song Shot, go ahead and visit our website at mozomedia.com/music, or you can email us at music@mozomedia.com. So, Josh, you said Oslo, Norway?
Yeah, this is a song off a compilation of collaborations that's put out by Eardrums Pop. We actually featured a song from off of this compilation on a previous podcast, and it's just filled with enough good stuff that I wanted to grab another one. This is a collaboration between Casa Murillo and Like Spinning, and their collaborative name is Suspicious for the Winter, and the song is called Empty Streets. Let's take a listen.
The lights are out, we're getting old. The nights pretend us to the throne. And catch the moon in their machines, and arm themselves with souvenirs. The lights are out, we're getting cold. The nights pretend this to the soul.
Pay no mind to beautiful and tell me just what you know. To think yourself so unknown,
themselves with souvenirs.
Why must you be so impossible? And the synchronicity
is going live.
Makes your mistakes all alive.
Today we lie in settled dust.
I just love the the interplay between the two vocalists in that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He has this kind of speak singing, what is it, Sprechgesang?
That sounds good to me.
Kind of style. I think I think that actually is what it's called. And she's got this very melodious, kind of euphoric, melodic singing.
Mm-hmm.
And between the two, you have his really staccato, almost Lou Reed stylings, and she's just going off. It's great. Yeah. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I really, really love that.
Well, great. Hey, if anyone out there wants to learn more about these two, you can visit them both at MySpace. One is www.myspace.com/Casamurillo, 1R, 1L. The other is www.myspace.com/like_spinning.
And you can get the song and the rest of the album at soundcloud.com/eardrumspop.
Coming up next, the kind of news your mom warned you about.
From around the world and around your block, this is Subbrilliant News. I'm Greg Whitney. SemiGigaCore Chief Executive Bart Carroll said he thinks rival Omni Megacore's control over the marketplace will drive customers away, causing OMC to fall apart. The stock market took notice. Carroll spoke with SBN about the direction his company is taking as SGC looks to increase its revenue from its primary business. In the interview, Carroll took the opportunity to comment on OMC's newly launched service, which debuted in July. The SGC CEO predicted that its rival will fail because customers won't like its stuff very much. Carroll said, "That's going to fall apart for them. Customers don't like the way they're doing that. We do it so much better." Carroll's comments likely stem from comments made by customers in August. Early customers of OMC's new service complained that it wasn't perfect. However, some early adopters indicated that despite not being perfect, the new service was pretty good. Carroll thinks other companies shouldn't listen to that and just try his stuff first. "Why risk it not being very good," he says, "when our company needs your business?" The Furniture Producers Association of America, or FPAA, asked Congress today to pass tougher legislation against used furniture sales. The FPAA showed that the furniture industry lost $1.9 billion last year to unauthorized resale of furniture. A designer of a chair receives no royalty or residual on a used sale, an FPAA spokesperson told reporters. How is that designer supposed to feed his or her family? What's the motivation to continue to make comfortable, beautiful seating? We need to act now before the furniture industry is ruined, he said. An explosion in used sales powered by internet sites like Craigslist and eBay is blamed for the damage to the furniture industry. In the past 10 months, IKEA has already slashed 5,000 jobs globally after sales dropped 7% below budget. The industry has started to consider ways to deactivate furniture after first sale. FPAA Chief Executive Larry Cosmo put it bluntly, he hopes people understand that when furniture is bought, they get cheated. He said, "I don't think anyone wants that, so in order for us to make strong, high-quality furniture, we need protections from both within the industry and without." Lobbyists have asked Congress to make it illegal to give furniture to unlicensed third parties without permission. Permission would be required whether the furniture is being sold or just given away. This is Subbrilliant News. I'm Greg Whitney.
That is the best news out of Bismarck, North Dakota ever.
That is so true. I also think there's going to be a bunch of lawsuits about the deactivated furniture because people will be falling on the floor left and right. I think the furniture industry has gone too far. There's going to be some scuffle about that.
You know, I thought IKEA had already put that into place.
You just fall out immediately.
Zing. If you want to hear more Subbrilliant News, visit them on the web at www.subbrilliant.com/news.
All right, next up, we have some music from the soundtrack of a documentary called Git Lamp, which covers the history of the text adventure, also sometimes called interactive fiction. It's a really awesome documentary if you're interested in the history of computer and video games and the early era of personal computing or the use of narrative in games at all. I highly recommend it. It follows the birth of the adventure game in the late 70s with a game called Colossal Cave, or just Adventure, which was based the layout of which was based on an actual cave complex, Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. And then it follows the kind of commercial height of the text adventure in the early 80s, especially with the company Infocom. And then it ends showing the revival of the genre as a hobbyist community. And this is a... I'm actually going to play two pieces off of this. This first one is called Too Late to Go Back, and it's by Tony Longworth and Flesh Resonance. So that's a kind of melancholy yet strident theme that plays at various parts of the documentary. But since it's so short, I thought we would cheat and actually make this a three-song shot and play you one more instrumental from the soundtrack. This is an ambient piece called Acropolis.
And Josh, did you play a lot of text-based games?
I did. I played them on my Apple II when I was a kid, and I was fascinated by them. At the time, especially the ones that Infocom came out with, they were pretty much the most sophisticated games that you could get in terms of a simulated world, because it basically described your current location. It's speaking to you in second person. For instance, the computer would say, you are standing in a five-walled chamber. Before you is a pedestal on which is a guitar pick and a lamp. And then you would type a command like, get lamp, and then it would spawn you pick up the lamp, or a gust of wind blows the lamp away before you can pick it up.
Yeah.
But the Infocom games were exceptionally rich in terms of just the writing was really good, and the kinds of commands you could type were more complicated than other games. And they actually had interesting stories and interesting characters, especially the some of the later games. Now, I often didn't get very far in the games without cheating. There were a bunch of hint books available, but I really enjoyed them, and there's a lot of interesting ways that people have experimented with the genre, carrying on in a non-commercial way today. So if you're interested in that at all, I recommend checking the whole medium out. I'll put some links to interactive fiction information in our show notes.
Great. And if you want to find out more about the music that you just heard, you can always find a selection of the music from Get Lamp at Tony Longworth, TonyLongworth.bandcamp.com. Plus, if you want to track down the film Get Lamp, it's at www.getlamp.com.
And there's another ambient artist whose music features prominently in the soundtrack, Zoe Blade, and you can find her music at zoeblade.bandcamp.com.
And don't forget, we can always make a song for you as well. Go ahead and visit www.mozomedia.com/music to hear about some of the previous song requests we've done. Song requests vary in genre, from country to rock to ambient to pogo dancing.
Well, there's no pogo music yet, but there is some Indian-influenced music there. That was probably the most challenging we've done so far. But yeah, throw us anything. We would love
Don't
to
get...
Don't
let that stop you. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, give us the strangest song request you can imagine. We'd love to tackle it. So yeah, to hear those previously fulfilled song requests, go to the site and mouse over where it says request a custom-made song, and then you can click on fulfilled custom song requests. And they're all there waiting for you to be played and downloaded at your leisure.
Well, that about wraps up this episode of the two-song, sometimes three-song shot. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See you in a week. Bye.